Chapter 33. I circled into the trees and stepped over Harris's corpse. The kid's face had been smashed in by two bullets, though the semi-automatic was still in his dead hand. Murphy must have had Wilson's gun. Wilson lay not far from Harris, also dead. Wounds to the chest, massive bleeding. Ben lay next to him, naked, but for a business skirt soaked in blood. There was a line of greenish goo around her waist, probably the remains of the wolf belt. Its magic must have died when she did. I tried not to look at the mangled meat on the back of her thighs or the tears near her jugular. I tried not to smell her blood or to notice the dark surge of contemptuous pride that went through me, leftovers from my experience with my own wolf belt. I shuddered and went past the bodies. The night was silent but for the wind and the creaking of the ropes that surrounded the platform in the middle of the encircling evergreens. I could still see Marconi up there, hog-tied up there. The position must have been excruciating. It isn't every day you get crucified and hung up as dinner for a monster, and you really can't train your muscles for it. I couldn't see Marconi's expression, but I could almost feel his agony. I waved a hand as he spun gently toward me, and he nodded his head, silent. I pointed at my eyes and then looked around at the shadowy trees, trying to ask him if he knew where the Loup Garou was, but he shook his head. Either he didn't understand me or he didn't see it, and either way, it didn't do me any good. I grimaced and moved forward through the trees, skirting the edge of the pit. I looked for the rope that must have been used to haul Marconi up to his current position. It had to have been tied off somewhere low. I peered through the near dark, following the strand of rope back to the tree it was tied to, and headed over toward it. Maybe I could get out of this. Maybe Murphy and I could escape with Marconi, join Susan and the others, and get out of here. No. That was a happy fantasy. Even if I did get everyone out, I knew I couldn't live with myself if I let the Loup Garou go loose tonight on another killing spree. I had to stop it. I was already going to have a hard enough time living with myself. The rope supporting Marconi had been secured with a hasty knot, easily undone. I started working it, rubbernecking all around, listening, trying to locate the Loup Garou. It wouldn't have just run off and left us here alive, would it? I took a turn around the tree with the rope to give me a little leverage, and then, very carefully, because of my bum arm, started lowering Marconi. If I could get him low enough, I could have him swing over to me from the pit center, catch him, balance him, and then go back and release the rope. It would have been easier if Murphy was there, but I hadn't seen her. A nasty little thought hit me. What if Murphy had run across the Loup Garou and it had killed her silently? What if it was, even now, trying to get to me? I secured the rope and moved back over to the pit. Marconi, no dummy, was already swinging back and forth as best he could, trying to get himself over to me, keeping my weight well away from the crumbling earth at the pit's lip. Marconi let out a sudden, startled hiss and said, "Dresden, the pit!" I looked down and saw the Loup Garou's eyes glowing down in the darkness of the pit, only a heartbeat before he surged toward me with a howl of rage. It was coming up the wall of the pit, simply gouging its claws into the mud and hauling itself upward toward me. I reeled back from the thing, threw out a hand, and screamed, "Fuego!" Nothing happened, except for a little puff of steam, like a breath exhaled into the cold night, and sudden, blinding pain in my head. The Loup Garou hurtled toward me, and I threw myself down to the earth, rolling away from its claws as it came over the edge of the pit. It raked me, caught the edge of my leather duster, and pinned me to the earth. I liked the coat, but I didn't like it that much. I slipped out of it as the Loup Garou clawed with its rear legs, much as I had only a few moments before, and inched up out of the pit. I was already running by the time it got out, and I heard it snarl, get its bearings, and then come after me. I was dead. I was so dead. I had gotten the kids out and Susan, and I had stopped Denton and his cronies, but I was about to pay the price. I slipped through the trees and out into the grass again, panting, cold now that my jacket was off. My shoulder ached from the running, from all the motion, and my foot hurt like hell. I couldn't run any longer, physically couldn't. My steps slowed, despite the commands of my brain, and I wept in frustration, weaving around just to keep on my feet. I was at the end of my rope. It was over. I turned to face the trees, to watch the Loup Garou coming. I wanted to see it coming, at least. If I was going to be killed, I wanted to face it on my feet, head on, go down with a little dignity. I saw its red eyes back among the trees. It came forward, slow, low to the ground, wary of some trick. I had stung it before, if not actually hurt it. It didn't want to fall victim to another such attack, I thought. It wanted to be absolutely sure that I was dead. I drew in a breath and straightened my back. I lifted my chin, trying to prepare myself. If I was going to go down, I'd go down as a wizard should, proud and ready to face what was beyond. I could spill out my death curse, a potent working of magic if I had time to speak it. Maybe I could counter MacFin's curse with it, take the horrible transformation off him that St. Patrick had allegedly laid on him, or maybe I could bring down Marconi's criminal empire with it. I debated these things as I drew out the silver pentacle amulet I had inherited from my mother so that it would lie bright on my chest. My mother's amulet. Silver. Amulet. Inherited from my mother. Inherited silver. My eyes widened and my hands started to shake. A drowning man will reach for anything that floats. The idea floated. If only I could pull it off. If only my brainlessness hadn't kept me from realizing what I had until it was too late. I took the silver pentacle off of my neck, breaking the chain in my haste. I caught the broken ends in my fist as I fastened my eyes on the Loup Garou and started to whirl the amulet in a circle above my head with my good arm. The amulet described a circle in the night air as I spun it, and I invested that circle with a tiny spark of will, a tiny bit of power. My head pounded. I felt the circle close around me, containing magical energies, focusing them. I hurt. I was weary. I felt as though I had betrayed myself, given myself over to the darkness I had tried so hard to resist by donning the evilly enchanting wolf belt. Because, let there be no mistaking, that is evil. Anything with that much power and that little control, that utter lack of concern for anything but itself, is evil, in the most effective sense of the word. There was nothing left inside of me. But I had to find it. I had to find enough magic to stop this bloodletting once and forever. I searched inside of me, where everything was numb and empty and tired. Magic comes from the heart, from your feelings, your deepest expressions of desire. That's why black magic is so easy. It comes from lust, from fear and anger, from things that are easy to feed and make grow. The sort I do is harder. It comes from something deeper than that, a truer and purer source. Harder to tap, harder to keep, but ultimately more elegant, more powerful. My magic, that was at the heart of me. It was a manifestation of what I believed, what I lived. It came from my desire to see to it that someone stood between the darkness and the people it would devour. It came from my love of a good steak, from the way I would sometimes cry at a good movie or a moving symphony, from my life,